All right, good morning, everyone. It's good to have you all here today. My name is Steve, and I'm one of the pastors here at the Rio Church. And this morning we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to start a series called There Is. And it's going to be related to a fundraiser we're going to be doing. And so I just want to start off just recognizing that, boy, if you're new this morning, it's your first time here, maybe you've been here a few times, it might be kind of weird that, you know, you might even have this impression that, oh, every time you go to church, they talk about money or that's all we ever talk about. So I want to just start off saying sorry about that. One of my goals for this morning would be that nobody would give anything extra today. Okay, so the pressure is off. If you came this morning and you were like, yeah, I'm going to give my regular giving or whatever, hey, that's fine. You can do that all you want. But I don't want anyone to feel any pressure to give extra today. And so I'm just even asking you not to. And in fact, my point for this morning, your go-home application will be primarily to go home and just pray about if you would want to be a part of this. And so that's your application to pray about it, not to twist your arm to try to get people to give. So that's actually just part of this campaign that we're doing, though, called There Is. And the other part is it's really trying to figure out our mission as a church and then rallying around that mission. And so part of the fundraiser will be to bring Dove on to staff. Dove was the guy up here doing announcements. And he did such a good job doing announcements that we thought we should just pay him full time to do that. So no, it's you know, we want him to be able to help with the church on a regular basis. And so that's why we're doing that. But that's just kind of part of where we're at as a church. And in this campaign, we also want to just really think about the rest of our mission. And it's great to bring Dove on to staff, but more than that, we all need to be locked into the same purpose and the same vision. And so we're going to be going over that throughout the series. This is really going to be the one message kind of focused on the fundraising part of it, but the rest of the series is going to be focused on other stuff. So this will be kind of that part of it. So there is comes from this verse, Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so I just like that, you know, there is one body, one church body is what that's talking about. One group of believers, of followers of Jesus. You know, there's one Lord. There's one faith that we're following. I really believe that God has one mission for us as a church that we need to rally around. And so that's what we're going to be doing. And before we pray and jump into it more, I just want to think about that mission just a little bit, just to introduce that. And I've been thinking about it recently in terms of just being disciples and making disciples. And we'll go over this a little bit more next week. But when Jesus was here on the earth after his death and resurrection, he was here for about 40 days before he went back up into heaven. And during those 40 days, he had one thing on his heart. And this one message he gave on at least three different occasions. And this message was to go and to tell people about him, basically. And the version in Matthew says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." And so this was one version of it, but he did it several times. And so, you know, just the context of it is this is really important. You know, after he came back, this is the one thing he passed on to us, that we would go and we would tell the whole world about him and that we would make disciples. And so in that, I think, well, part of it's making disciples, and I think it's implied, though, that we would also be disciples. And so when I think about being disciples, there's this aspect of just following his call on our lives. Discipleship's something I've been talking about the last several times I've spoken. I still haven't figured out English. But following his call on our lives, Jesus called the disciples, and he said, you know, come follow me. And so there's this aspect of being a disciple. You're just like, okay, I'll come follow you, and you'll be my mentor, and I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll give up what you want me to give up, and I'll focus where you want me to focus. And I think the same thing's true in our lives. We would be disciples, that we would follow in that same way, and as disciples, then that we would live the life. That we wouldn't just say we're Christians, but we would actually be followers. We wouldn't just be believers, but we would change the way we live as well. And so in that, there are a couple aspects I think we tend to think of, you know, okay, well, I'm gonna straighten up and I'm gonna live right and do all these good things and stuff. And that may be part of it, but there's this other aspect of just being in relationship with Jesus and just enjoying that, you know, hey, I'm a son of God now. And if you're a Christian, you're a son of God or a daughter of God. And there's this relational part of it. If you're with him, you're following him, you're connected to him. And so that's a big part of following him. It's not just that we would change and obey and follow this list of rules, but that we would be in relationship with Jesus. We'd be walking in grace, enjoying forgiveness, enjoying the spot that God's put us in. I think that's what we experience when we're worshiping. We're just kind of connected on what he's done for us. It's like, man, you're so good. And we're praising him. And that's part of being in relationship. And sometimes I think through the week and the day to day, we get caught up more on other stuff. And we forget this glorious aspect of what he's done for us. But I think there is an aspect of where he does want us to obey. He does want us to follow him and to walk in holiness. Holy means set apart, to be different than we were before. The Bible talks about how we should walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And we all appreciate that. You know, we see sometimes people being hypocrites where they're like, oh, I follow Jesus, but you look at their life and you're like, really? You know, it surprised me by the way you live. And we see that in other people, right? And sometimes we recognize that in our own lives. We can all deal with some hypocrisy, but we don't want to live in that spot, right? We want to live as he's called us to. And so there's an aspect of following him and the aspect of living the life. And then we should be making disciples. That's part of the mission. That's the clearest part of that verse in Matthew 28 that I shared. And so we think of maybe spreading his message, and probably for most of us, what might jump to our mind is maybe missionaries or pastors, people who are in full-time ministry. They're the ones who are spreading the message. And that's true, but I think God really wants us all involved in this mission of making disciples. And part of that verse that I quoted was teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And so there's this aspect of the mission that's teaching. We're instructing people. And you see that, you know, up here from the pulpit, but that also happens in our homes with our kids. It happens in Sunday school. Happens on Facebook when somebody posts something crazy and you try to kind of lovingly, it's like, oh, how can I put this? You know, how can I kind of direct them toward the truth? What are you doing there? Well, you're trying to teach them. You're trying to direct them. And that's all an aspect of disciple making. And so this is our mission that we want to be focused on. This is the thing that was on Jesus's heart before he went back up into heaven. This is what he left us with. And so as a church, we want to rally around this mission. And to me, that's really exciting. It's like, yeah, that's what I want to give my life to. That's really exciting to have something I give my life to that really, truly makes a difference in people's lives. There are a lot of ways to help people, but I feel like the greatest way you can help people is by helping them enter into a relationship with God and to find forgiveness and to be able to walk in a different life. And so that's the mission that we're trying to rally around. And so our series, again, is called There Is. And in this first part, as I mentioned, I'm going to focus on the fundraiser aspect. And I don't really enjoy doing fundraisers myself. I don't know about you, but, you know, if I had options of maybe you have three options. Like, you could go out and raise $50 for someone else who's in need, or you could go out and raise $50 for yourself, or you could just give $50. I'm like, oh man, just let me give the $50. I don't want to, you know, and it's okay if it's, you know, if it's for someone else, if it's for some great need, then it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess I could do that. No, it'd still be really hard. But if it's for myself at all, then that's just kind of weird. And so as a pastor, it's a little bit strange to do a fundraiser because even if it's not directly for me, indirectly, it affects me. And so it's icky to a degree. Unless it's not really for me and it really is the need and it is the most important need at the moment. And so as a church, we try not to do a lot of fundraisers. When we started our other church, I think we did our other location, we did a real small fundraiser of like $10,000 or something just to get in. So in 9 years, we've never done a big fundraiser like this. This isn't something we talk about all the time, even just regular giving and stuff like that. Maybe once a year or so we talk about that. And so again, sorry if this is kind of your first impression of our church or even your first impression of Christians. It's not all about money. But that is part of what we're going to talk about today. And so, again, I want to put this in a place where it's not weird to talk about, so don't give today, please. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for what you've done for us. And just as we sang those songs earlier, it's just so refreshing to just focus on you and what you've done for us. And just think of the song, Jesus Paid It All. And that's really what it's all about. Jesus, you went to the cross for me to pay for my sins. I'm a broken person. And I've done a lot of things that have offended you and violated your law. And yet you found a way for me to be forgiven without taking it out of me. Jesus, you went to the cross in my place. And that's amazing. Thank you for that. Yeah, thank you that we get to be a church focused around a mission of telling other people about that. That's so cool. What a great thing to give our lives to. And so I just pray that you would help us on that mission. God, help us even over these next few weeks to really think about how we want to be involved, not just in the fundraiser, but in the mission of our church and really in our personal mission, the mission that you've given us. And so we just ask your blessing on this time here and this series and all that's going on in the church. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So when I think about just kind of big picture, our church accomplishing its mission of making disciples and being disciples, one thing that I think is really important is just having pastoral support. So I've been pastoring for about 20 years. And one of the things I've seen is for churches, when they have a pastor who's working full-time in another job, it's super, super hard for them to grow. It's just almost impossible. And pastoring is just, it's very consuming. It really is more than, you know, preparing a message on Saturday. There's counseling. There's thinking about legal issues. There's dealing with conflict in the church and weddings and funerals and praying for people and, you know, prayer meetings and meeting with people, and there's a lot that goes into that. And if someone has a full-time job, that's just really hard to do their full-time job and do that well. Some people are really gifted, and they're able to do that, but not very many. And I know I'm not. And so in a church, one of the things that's healthiest, best for its growth, is that it would have someone full-time focused on shepherding or pastoring the church. And so in our church, we're not in a desperate situation at all because I am available as a full-time pastor, and so that's great. But we have two locations. So we have one pastor with two locations. Not a crisis, but probably not ideal either. And so when I look at it, I just think, man, the very best thing for our church, for our future, kind of the next step for us, I believe would be to take a step of faith in trying to get Dev on full-time in full-time ministry. And so personally, I feel like I just think that's the thing I want to do. And I'm willing to sacrifice to help make that happen. And I think Dove and Holly are willing to sacrifice to help make that happen. I think there are others in the church who are willing to sacrifice to make that happen. Not just because there's a need, but because this is the mission that I'm on. This is what I want to do with my life. And so I don't even see it as this huge sacrifice. I see it more as hey, this is an opportunity. That sounds a little bit cheesy, like, oh, you have the opportunity to give. But seriously, it's like if U2 came to town. U2 is one of my favorite bands. And so if U2 came to band and I had an opportunity to go see him, I don't know what tickets cost nowadays. I don't know, maybe $90, maybe $150. I wouldn't really care. In fact, I'm going. And I'm going to bring a couple of my kids with me, and we're going to, you know, and you just don't think twice about it, because it's like, let's do it. This is this opportunity. And so we do that all the time, right? You go out to eat, you're not like, oh, I got to give $25 to pay for my meal, and what a rip. You know, you're like, woo, I get to go out to eat, you know? And so that's kind of how I view this. It's like, well, I believe in this mission. This is what I want to do with my life. And so I don't think of it as this painful thing of giving to it. It's just like, no, this is what I want to do. And so to me, that's kind of exciting and just part of what I want to do with my life and with my money. So big picture, kind of apart from the fundraiser, though, I think we really need to rally together to be a vibrant church. And there are some things that I think we need to rally around. One of those is prayer. And if I look at our church right now and just try to assess kind of where we're at, I think, oh, we've got a pretty good church. You know, I think God's blessing and we're growing, which is kind of rare nowadays. Just hard to even grow as a church nowadays. So we're growing, and that's kind of cool. And I think there are lives that are changing. You know, you see here and there, it's like people are making decisions of faith, and they're following God, and that's really affecting them greatly. And okay, that's cool. Sometimes I see people, you know, just, you know, praying together after church or crying together. Or it's like, man, there's just love that's happening and ministry. And just even after church, everybody stands around and talks and is in relationship. So there are a lot of healthy things going on. And thank you for going and making handouts for me, honey. I pulled them up on the computer this morning, and then that's as far as I got. So I think we're in a good spot. But sometimes I think about, what if, just like synergy-wise, what if we could take every person in here and their gifts and their skills and their passion, and what if you could just like slate everybody in just the right spot and then all be focused on the mission? And then I think, well, what would happen then? Well, then I'd be like, we're not just like, oh, we're in a pretty good spot, but I'd be like, man, that'd be really cool. Because I look at you guys and I think, man, there's a lot of talent in this room, a lot of people with unique gifts. And if we could just organize it all just right, almost from human effort, it's like, that would be really awesome. But then if I think a step beyond that, I get really excited. What if what happened in our church wasn't just, hey, let's do better, or let's try a little harder? What if it was like a move of God? That's different. I could get really excited about that. So in the book of Acts is a book that records what happened in the early church right after Jesus went back up into heaven. And so very early in the book, describes what's going on. It says, those who accepted Peter's message, Peter was telling them about Jesus and how Jesus had went to the cross for their sins. And Peter gave this message, and those who accepted it were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this is talking about how every day in their little church, what was going on is every day there were people who were making a decision to say, I'm going to become a follower of Jesus. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus every day. And in one particular day, there were 3,000 people. And if we had 30 people every year, I'd be like, man, that's really cool. That's exciting. That's amazing. 3,000 a day is beyond my comprehension. I mean, that's just what's going on there. You give just the right talk. You know, the right amount of humor, the right amount, you know, the right length of a talk. And he just kind of got right into their hearts and it's just perfectly delivered. And no, God did something there, right? And so that's what I think about. It's like, man, we need to be seeking not just to be a better church, not a stronger group of people, not more organized, but we need to be seeking God's blessing. Because what I see there is not human. This is not their gifts and their talents. This is God is doing something amazing, and that's what I want to seek, and I think that's what we all want. We all want to see God doing amazing things around us, in our church, in our community, and in our own lives, right? Ministering to us, healing us, helping us understand our identity, our forgiveness, all these things. And so I feel like the path to that is prayer. And so really want us to work on praying together, seeking God together. And then I just think if everyone in our church was involved, that would be super exciting. You may have heard, I don't know if it's a business principle, but I'm sure you've heard of this before though, and it's that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Or maybe 20% of the people do 80% of the giving. And I don't know if that's a super accurate reflection of our church necessarily, but I think just generally in life, you know, maybe it's 30-70 or something, but just generally, you'd say, yeah, that kind of seems to be true. And I think that really cripples the church. It's like, that's not God's plan. That's not what he wants. You know, Jesus didn't call people and, you know, get his first 10 disciples and say, okay, you know, hey, you two, I want you guys to do all the work. That's not the plan, right? He wants us all working together. In Matthew 9:37, Jesus said to his disciples, the size of the harvest is bigger than you can imagine, but there are few workers. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers for his harvest. And so in that, we see the direct application, right, is to pray for workers. Jesus is saying, hey, there's a lot to be done. We need more people involved in getting this done. We need more workers, and so pray for workers. That's the direct application. But maybe a secondary application would be, if I'm not working, would be, well, maybe I should work. And maybe I should jump in and be a part. And this is always hard to talk about in church because when we talk about serving, what happens is the 20% who are already doing too much, they're like, oh, I feel guilty. I need to do more. And that's not what we need. But if we have 70 or 80% who are just are kind of real nominally involved, it's like, well, join in on this mission. Come and serve. And I don't think it has to be in this major way that you're like, oh, that sounds really... Sometimes it's just really simple. Love people. You know, like after church, we have this meal. It's not just because we're hungry, but we want to foster fellowship. We want to be spending time together. And maybe you can be involved on his mission just by saying, hey, I'm going to love people. Other people come in and they feel out of place. And I'm going to love them. I'm going to help them feel comfortable. Oh, and this person over here, they look a little contemplative or say, hey, you okay? Can I pray for you? And just be on mission. And we want to make sure that our church isn't just a gathering place. Like, hey, this is an event that we do on Sunday morning. But to all be on mission. Say, I'm here to be discipled, but I'm also here as a disciple. I'm here to be helped and to grow, but I'm also here to help others and to love them and to grow. And so it doesn't have to be this major thing, but just to have that mindset of, hey, I'm here to love people. I'm here on mission. And then I think for us to really be a vibrant church, we need everyone to share ownership of the vision. I was thinking about how when someone goes into mission work, we expect them to sacrifice, right? That's just kind of part of it. Like Glenn, he's going to be a missionary to Africa. And, you know, what comes to your mind when you think about that? Like, good luck. You know, it's like, that's, right? It's kind of like, well, that's gonna cost you, right? And you're gonna like be, well, I don't know what situation that he's gonna be in, but it's like, everything's gonna be a loss of sleep and an inability to speak the language and difficult situations and helping people medically and not having the supplies. And it's like, man, you're gonna have to suffer. And we kind of recognize that, but that's, we kind of put it on him, right? Well, that's his thing. You know, and so like Dove, when he comes on full time with our church, we kind of have that same mindset. Well, good luck to you, and that's gonna cost you. So I was just thinking about this in my own mind, because I don't read this stuff. This is the way my mind works too. It's like, well, why do I think that way, and what am I thinking exactly? Well, how's that look? And so, like with Dove, I was just trying to figure it out. Like, okay, so why am I thinking that way? And let's just think about the financial part. So he's a teacher right now, as he mentioned. He's going to go into full-time ministry. So how much of a salary cut should he have to take to go into full-time ministry? Just rhetorical questions in your own head. Well, as a church body, it's like, what? Well, seems a little weird. It's like, I don't want him to take a salary cut. I want to share that burden. You know, we're in it together. And that's the way we need to see ministry, is that we're in it together. And again, in Acts, in the history of the early church, that's the spirit that was going on there. They all had ownership of a common vision. In Acts 4:32, it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. Yeah, I just get a picture there of, man, these guys, they really loved each other, and they were really locked arm in arm. And you just don't get this sense of this flavor of, oh, well, you're serious about following Jesus, so that's going to cost you, and, you know, you're on your own. It's like, hey, we are really in this together. And I think that needs to be the spirit of the church in America and here at the Rio. And obviously, I think we're in a good spot, but I think the more we can have that, hey, we're serving a common God with a common purpose. We're focused together. I think that will really help us to be the vibrant church that God would have. And so I look at those three different areas, just us being in prayer and seeking God, and then everyone involved, everyone serving, everyone chipping in, and then everyone just sharing the same vision. I feel like if those three things happen, we could really have a super vibrant church. God's blessed us right now. We're in a good place. But God wants some really amazing things in this world. And I want us to be positioned so that we can be a part of what God is doing in those things. And so that's all I really wanted to share this morning related to this campaign that we're doing. And so let me just give you some more specifics related to the fundraiser, and then we'll wrap it up. We're trying to raise about $140,000 over a two-year period. And right now in our church, we're at a spot where we kind of live month to month, and we're doing okay. God's providing, and we're fine, but we don't have a lot saved up. I think maybe less than $10,000. So we're not in a spot where we could just bring Dev on. But again, I feel like it's the best thing we could do for our church. And so $140,000, where that number comes from, is, be nice to just be able to replace Dove's current salary as a teacher. And we don't really have any benefits as pastors, and so we want to have enough on top of that he'd be able to buy insurance and do some things like that. But just real basic stuff. And then I don't know how to explain this part of it, but just pastors spend money. So when you hire on a pastor, they have new ideas and thoughts, and, oh, let's do this and let's do this. And when you do stuff, it costs money. And so there's a little bit of extra money in there as well for just to be able to reimburse all the amazing ideas he comes up with. And so, I feel like it's a pretty conservative number in a sense, as far as no one's getting rich off of this thing, but it is significant for a church of our size. And so one question people might have is just, oh, is this even possible? That seems like a lot of money. And the amazing thing is when you do spreadsheets, which I love doing spreadsheets, but it actually usually looks pretty easy when you put it on a spreadsheet. So I think we have about 91 people, adults total in our church right now between the two churches, the two locations. And so if we had like 83% participating, there'd be 76 people participating, 76 adults. And so if you look at the top line, if you had 20 people pledging $10 a month for 2 years and 20 people giving $20 a month for 2 years and 16 people giving $40 a month, 8 people giving $50 and 6 people giving $100, 4 people giving $200 and 2 people giving $400, then we would be able to raise about $46,000 a year. And our region is going to help support. And so they might do a full matching thing. We still need to iron out some of the details. But I think we could count on for at least $24,000. And so there's, in 1 year, $70,000. So we'd be able to raise the $140,000 pretty easily on paper. So a couple of thoughts on this. One is, obviously, if you're just kind of squeaking by financially, you know, you're not going to give at this level, you know? And so for some people, they might look at that and be like, oh, that's no big deal. But for some people, you're really struggling. And so just give as God leads. That's all we're really asking. And then I would encourage maybe just one little step beyond that. And it's just because I would love to have everyone be a part. And so if you're like, man, I cannot give anything, would you just pray about even just giving a dollar a month? And if it were me, I would just give all 24 up front and just get it out of the way. And it's not because we need your 24 bucks over the next 2 years. It's not going to make that big of a difference in $140,000. But I just think it'd be really cool to just have all of us in. We're all like, yeah, I'm in. Yeah, I want to help make this happen. Even if I can't do very much, I want to do a little something. Or 24 cents. I don't really care. The amount's not that important, but just fill out the little pledge card and just, I'm in. I'd be really encouraged with that. And I think it'd be encouraging to all of us. And so, so that looks pretty reasonable. We don't do, the fundraisers I've been a part of, we haven't done the thermometer thing. If you've ever seen that, sometimes there'll be like a thermometer where it's like, okay, at the top of the thermometer, here's what we're trying to get, $140,000. Okay, here's how much we got this week, and now we're at this much, and now we're at this much. And one of the things I don't like about that is it makes our giving based upon what other people give. Well, I'm hoping everybody else will give a lot, and then I won't have to give much. Or, you know, there's something weird going on, and then it kind of puts us in this spot. Well, we're almost there. Just dig a little deeper, give a little bit more, and we'll break it. And it's like, no, what we're going to do is just have everybody pray about it. Whatever God puts on your heart to give, that's what you can give. And we're just going to trust God with that. And so just practically the way that's going to look, these envelopes will be available next week because you're not allowed to give this week, right? And so there'll just be little envelopes and you'll have an opportunity to give next week or the week after or sometime in the next 4 weeks. And we're just going to collect these. And then what we're going to do is on May 12th, I think it is, we're going to have our fiesta. It's going to be at the airport location. We're moving it from the 5th. And on that day, we're going to add all these up and see where we're at. And if God blesses abundantly, we're just going to trust, okay, well, I guess that's what we needed. And if he doesn't, you know, give us that much, then be ramen noodles for Dove. So, no, then we'll just trust that, okay, well, maybe we didn't need that much, and I think we'll probably just still move forward and in faith say, okay, well, this is where we're at. And so that's the plan. So if you have any questions on that, you can ask me or Dove, and there'll be a little bit more just reminders on this over the next few weeks. But I don't want you to feel like this is going to be the talk that you hear every week for the next 3 weeks. It's not. And so we're going to talk more about the other things that I talked about just related to just being in the same place, having one heart and one focus on God's mission. And so that's what we're going to lock into. So I'm going to close in prayer. And John and Si can come back up, lead us in a couple more worship songs. Well, Lord, I thank you for what you've done in our church. And God, I thank you for all the lives that we've been able to be a part of impacting. And I just thank you even for my own life, how you've impacted me even just over these last 9 years that I've been here in El Paso. And you've been so good to me. And I thank you for the support that the church has been to me and to each one of us. And I'm just excited to be following you and to be involved in your mission. I don't know if everybody's like this, but it's really important to me to live my life in a way that counts. And so I want to do well on your mission, and I want our church to do well on your mission. I would love to just be involved in the business of saving lives. Spiritually. And I pray, God, that you would help us to do that. And I thank you, God, for how you've gifted us and you've made each one of us unique. And we relate to people differently and we care for people differently and we have different groups of friends. And you've put us all on this mission of impacting the world around us. And so I just ask, God, that you would help us to be strong in doing that, be strong in making disciples and be strong in being disciples. And I pray that as we do that, God, that you would do amazing things in us and through us. And so we just thank you for this time here, and we love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.